Afternoon, coaches. Welcome to the Daily Sports Locker Room Podcast. Ryan and Dan back with us this week again, lads. A busy weekend of football. Obviously, centre stage was the semi-finals of the Ulster Championship and the semi-finals of the Leinster Championship. We'll probably start in Ulster, but I suppose before we start, actually, it's worth noting on Saturday, actually, I was down in Park Esther, lads, on Saturday morning, watching Down Miners playing against Donegal. A really, really powerful display from them. Benny Coulter's over the team. Young lad, Dara Poland from Maybridge, finished with 2-2. There's another young lad from Kilcoo, Barra McAvoy, is going to be a real superstar in the making as well, albeit he's quite quiet Saturday, but a really positive performance in the main. And lads, it's sort of the reason I'm starting with that is it was really dynamic. There was a lot of kicking in the game. There was a lot of free flowing football, a lot of mistakes, and then you had that sort of putrid affair then on Saturday evening. And just on the game itself, I felt, lads, and I don't know what you feel, but Daniel, certainly I think, you know, Armagh, and I know McGeaney talks about, you know, they had to play like that. They had, you know, Down can hurt you. They kind of, I just think when you see the starting team and you don't see Liam Kerr in it, and you take away that wee bit of pace with him and Danny McGill, I'm thinking Armagh have a chance for 10, 15 minutes to really go hard and go after them. And I felt Armagh sitting in, yes, I understand the theory and the concept behind it, but I thought Ledge, it actually then led to a perfect scenario for Down. And it nearly was a carbon copy of Down and Antrim, only Down were Antrim in this game, coming in as the underdogs, and Armagh just let them, maybe just too much respect. Was it?
Yeah, I would be inclined to agree with you. But what I would say would be that anytime Armagh kind of got out of that structure, Down threatened goals. I mean, it was nearly like the game got scattered twice and Down got two goals. So maybe there was something in that for McGeaney. I've said this a good few times, and I know Doran disagrees with me a bit, but like I think a team sitting in is Armagh's kryptonite. I really don't think that they enjoy it. Like it, I, you know, you hear this phrase in rugby an awful lot about teams that play north-south rugby, straight down the line, direct run and all that kind of stuff, not east-west. I think Armagh are a north-south team. Armagh, if you give Armagh transitions, and yeah, you know, you won't live with them. Like, even the second half, when they did start pushing up on kickouts, they looked really exposed, and that's not necessarily against a massive Down midfield or anything like that. It didn't lend itself to a good game. I would give Down credit, to be honest with you. They set the terms and conditions very early. They were quite happy to take the ire of the crowd, maybe, and take kind of, I know they got a bit of a social media battering, both sides did, but it was Down's best chance of winning, and they very nearly did. Like, it was almost a smash and grab, but like, I suppose the one coaching point I'd take from it would be the last 3 minutes, the last play. And like, the way Armagh controlled that last 3 minutes, they knew they needed a score. It looked like that had been something that they had been working on the field, like they had been practicing. I mean, it was very, very controlled. It was very measured. They waited for the right run from the kick pass. There was a small loop off the receiver, off Mernon. Like, I'd say that's something they have rehearsed quite regularly in training. And I, you know, it's something our coach doing that enough, you know, practicing those scenarios, last play of the game. But I think Armagh need to do a little bit more of that throughout the game. You know, they did perfectly in the last couple of minutes, but for the duration of it, I think they got caught up in this local tension. You know, there was a bit of niggle and all the rest. So I think they got caught up in that a little bit. And only for, in fairness, I thought Faulker was immense, and I thought Rian O'Neill's couple of bits of class, bringing him to the middle of the field and getting him out of that quagmire of the 45, I think was a good shout. But yeah, I think Armagh struggle with that, and I'd love to see them win Ulster. I won't lie. I think they deserve one, but I think they're going to struggle massively with a Donegal team who are probably a level or two above Down, you know?
Yeah, they are. And Ryan, I suppose Down did, as Daniel talked about, like they controlled the narrative of the game, didn't they? And it was, I just knew, Ryan, after the first bout of play was 4.5 minutes of possession or something like that. I think it finished with a score. And you were just sort of thinking, this is just exactly how Down and Laverty and Mina would have wanted the game to go, wasn't it, Lee?
Yeah, I suppose from a neutral point of view, it wasn't a great spectacle. But I feel Down had to bring that template to the game. And like, I wouldn't be too hard on Down. You know, that was their style. They really, I suppose, slowed Armagh down, and it nearly paid off. And I think when you're an underdog, let's face it, Down are a few levels below Armagh. They had to come with something. And I probably, from an Armagh point of view, yes, they're afraid of Down's counter-attacking, but I think once you give an underdog oxygen by allowing them to stay in the game and stay in the game, the more it goes on, then players become a bit more tense. Players maybe are afraid of taking shots, etc. And I just felt that was the way the game went for Armagh. It ended up going down the home straight. and Down still could have got a result there. So probably learning Armagh are the best, more superior team. I feel they still need to go out and stamp their authority earlier on in games and really show that they can, you know, put Down to bed and not allow them to stay in the game.
Yeah, and Ledge, like, I know Down had that threat, but like, I'm looking at the Down team, like, and you're sort of thinking to yourself, like, you know, where is the real marquee forward that's going to hurt you there with, you know, like a 1-6 or a 1-7? And it doesn't, you know, I just felt that maybe with Liam Kerr being left out, obviously Barry O'Hagan, hopefully Barry's injury is not too serious because he is only back from a serious injury. No Oisin Savage in the starting team either. You know, three real big scoring threats. And you're sort of thinking, you know, Danny McGill as well. And you're sort of thinking now might be an opportunity, you know, to really go after them. But saying that, Ledge, I totally understand. I get what you're saying. You know, every time Armagh did create a little bit of chaos, Down did get in. But how difficult would it be, Daniel, for a manager like Kieran McKeever and Donegan, these boys, to control the build-up to the game? Like, everyone ripped Down off. There was no better way, Daniel, for Down to come in an Ulster Championship game. You know, there was no better way. And how hard is that as a player, do you think? Does that psyche just creep in? You win by 10. Every man you meet in the street, everybody I talk to, oh, Down will win by 6. I know a couple of men that have big money in them on Armagh -6, you know, and Armagh will hammer them to do this. And that has to creep in, doesn't it? Like, how do you guard against that? Or is it impossible?
Well, no, I think you guard by almost being overcautious, which is probably what we saw, I think, at the weekend. I think those Armagh players listened 100% to what McGeaney and what the management team would have been saying, which would have been control. And you take the risk, as Ryan said, you take the risk of leaving a team in it. You give a sucker an even break. Like, but it's almost like you say pink elephant enough times, what do you see? You know, and there was definitely an awareness of that. Like, to be fair, like I'm kind of not too hard on either team here, because Armagh are, I think McGeaney said during the week, they've had three successful teams in their history. So it's not as if they're all Ireland contenders year in, year out. Like, you know, it is very hard as a player to not to let that infiltrate. Like, I mean, it really is. And to be fair to Armagh, I don't think they get out of that bind a couple of years ago. And so some credit has to go to them, to be fair. I think they'd be happy just to get out with a result, to be perfectly honest. Like, in hindsight, I really thought kickouts would have been the place they'd get after Down. Yes, maybe in general play, I didn't expect them to be as sit in as low a block as they did. I thought to be slightly more of a middle third press. It didn't transpire. But I thought kickouts of where they'd really go after them, especially Reno Neal or out around the middle. Like like Armagh have really athletic players, and it is an area of weakness for Down. I thought that would be the time, especially from set plays and stuff like that, where we'd see them cut loose a little bit. But they were very pragmatic, and I think what you say is right. I think there was kind of an overcautious element, but that was because I'd say it was rammed home to them all week. This Down team can do us trouble. And you have to kind of think like that, because if you go out with a laissez-faire attitude against an underdog who, and let's call a spade, Down have some tools that can cause you problems. I know you mightn't have your 1-7, your 1-8 man, but they have runners. Like, we saw that. I thought the two goals were fantastically worked moves, you know, to be fair to them. So I think they gave them due credit, possibly a little bit too much maybe.
Yeah, and Ryan, heading into the 72nd minute, Down were still in front. You know, I think Aidan Nugent levelled in around 72, 73, and then Duffy kicked the winner in the 70th minute. That'll be pleasing from an Armagh perspective, Ryan. You know, that they went into them, that as you call it, clutch moment. You know, you think of the American quarterback, Brady, and he talks about those teacup moments, you know, thinking clearly under pressure. Those are those last 6 or 7 minutes, Ryan, where chaos is all around you. The line's losing their head, the crowd are up. You need cool heads, and that will stand for Armagh, Ryan, moving forward.
Yeah, we'll probably accept last year, Armagh haven't had a really, really good Ulster campaign under McGeaney, let's face it. So what I'm saying is, a couple of years ago, they made a loss to Cavan. Fermanagh, we caught them in 2018. So they're the kind of games where you're expecting them to go in and really just show that they're a 78-point better team. And Armagh have often got caught. So McGeaney will definitely feel they got the job done. Semi-finals are about winning. Get through to a final now. Donegal is going to be favourites. And you know what? Armagh probably always play better when there's not as much expected of them. Yeah. So you would have to give them a lot of credit for the way, as you said there, they were able to grind that result out, considering going into injury time, they were still behind. So Down Armagh, it's a local derby. The way Down set up as well, they were making it a war. And that's exactly how the game played out. So McGeaney will definitely be glad to get out of there. And I suppose that'll be one thing he'd be saying to the lads. Look, lads, 4 or 5 years ago, we would have lost that game. So credit where credit's due, you know.
And Ryan, from a finishing point of view, like, you know, and rather than call them substitutes, like people have this terminology of you're going to finish the game, you know, we need finishers coming on to finish the game. I suppose it was slightly smart of, you know, down in a way to hold back the likes of Liam Kerr, to hold back the likes of Danny McGill, Oisin Savage, who were maybe they were thinking, come into the game when Armagh is a little fatigued, a little stretched, and then we can really fucking hurt them, you know, if the game is still obviously the man. And there's a risk element behind that too, Ryan, isn't there, that you're holding back such great Armagh, you know, to spring them later in the game.
Yeah, well, the likes of Liam Kerr, I've no doubt Armagh would have been identifying him as one player they had to really tag closely, and then all of a sudden he's no longer playing. So the game plan was obviously very straightforward from down, and they did, you know, they carried it out very well. Get into the last 10 minutes, then can we really go for it and spring on the likes of Kerr when the game opens up? Because you have to remember, down we're thinking, if we can stay into the last 10 minutes, Armagh are going to have to come out and go for us as well, which then allows pockets of space for the likes of Kerr. So, no, look, from a Down point of view, they'll be gutted, because sometimes you don't get too many opportunities where you take a team above you into the extra time or injury time. And Down were in that position and they didn't get over the line. So it's a massive blow for them as well, considering they have no doubt they put so much into that game. Potentially Down were looking beyond Antrim. Let's call a spade. Probably knew that Armagh were going to beat Fermanagh. So the same way we talked about Donegal focusing so much on Derry, Laverty and his crew were probably focusing a lot on this game, Armagh semi-final.
Yeah, and Daniel, like the Jason Duffy came in, you know, real good player, good season with Cullyhan as well, All-Ireland Intermediate Champions. Oisin Reel come onto the field, Aidan Nugent, you know, McMullen as well, is a decent player. Like Armagh had Armalite to come in there too. And like as a coach, Daniel, and as a manager, how important, because obviously our coaches in our forum are listening to this, like how important is it to actually consider those things that you need, you know, when you're picking a team, it is important that you maybe say, look, and it's hard for a player, Daniel, to probably accept that, but to say, look, we're going to hold you back, but the last 20, 25, you're going to come on and win this game for us, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes it depends what you want to do in a specific game. Like, just, I'll give you an example. We had a league game at the weekend, missing a couple of players, and we had an option between two lads to come in, and basically if we played one fella, we'd have to be slightly less aggressive on kickouts because he wouldn't have the height. If we had another fella, we could go really aggressive on kickouts because he mightn't have had necessarily athleticism, but he'd have had that size. So even sometimes, depending on game to game what you want to do, you kind of alter that. And I thought Armagh, like, what, we had 3 points from Armagh subs in the last 10 minutes, like, which was huge. Like, that ball from Farker into Oisin O'Neill, like, that was very clear. He had his head up from maybe 3-4 seconds before he played it. And in fairness, a fantastic ball and a really good mark. And then the two boys that finished off with the two scores, I thought they brought a real energy. And I thought Down looked like they were flagging, especially that Down kind of back 11, 12 players. I thought they looked like they were kind of running on fumes for the last couple of minutes. But it's definitely something you have to be thinking about. And I think Down are probably right as well to hold back maybe a couple of lads, because you're setting out the template and you're admitting this is going to be a slog. So why burn some of our most talented fellas doing the donkey work for the first 50 minutes when we can bring them in fresh when the game is starting to get loosened up? Like, yeah, we're going to talk about Tyrone Donegal later on and Paddy McBeardy getting whipped at halftime. He's not suited to doing the dog work inside the 45. Why waste him there? And I think longer term, you might see him playing more of a second half role, but that's a separate issue. But definitely, I think you have to think about your opposition. You have to think about what you want to achieve. And I think players are so used to kind of maybe not being in the first 15 sometimes, and then the next week you could be starting, the next week you mightn't be. I think players are so used to that kind of flux, and even as you say, with the different terminologies and stuff, substitutes aren't your what they used to be, you know, where you only got brought down and you're injured. So it's definitely, and especially in Ulster, when games are attritional, you can waste energy basically as a forward being kind of on your own 45 defending for an awful lot of time, you know.
It's an interesting discussion, Ryan, because I remember chatting to, I can't remember who it was, I think maybe Donny Buckley or something at the time, about Dublin, when Dublin were in their plum, and he was saying the problem is that Lee Keegan will mark Damard Connolly for 50 minutes and will chase him and run around after the field, and, you know, he's gassed, and then the next thing you know, he'll take Connolly off, or he'll take Brogan off, and he'll bring on, you know, McManaman, or he'll bring on a Flynn or whatever, and you're then chasing an equally good a player, only this man's coming in fresh, and you've done the doggy work for 50 minutes. So the strength and depth of a bench is so critical, Ryan, in progressing the championship, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, Stephen. Now, the thing about that is sometimes Liam Kerr, just to use him as an example, is probably one of Down's main players in the league. So they're coming into a massive championship here against their rivals, and Lafferty tells him, I'm not starting you. Now, sometimes that doesn't go down well with your key player, but what impresses me on the flip side is Armagh. McGeaney somehow has been able to keep his group together. Like, the amount of quality Armagh have, obviously he can't play them all at one time, but yesterday he was able to spring Nugent off the bench, made an impact. Duffy off the bench, made an impact. Arshin O'Neill off the bench, made an impact. And McGeaney obviously has the personality where he's able to keep these boys, you know, within, make them feel important, make them feel that they still have a massive part to play without them throwing the toys out of the pram as such. You compare that to Liverpool, just an example at the weekend. Yeah. Mo Salah, main player, all of a sudden maybe a wee bit out of form. Klopp doesn't start him, goes to bring him on, and obviously we know what happened there. So I have to give McGeaney massive credit the way the last 6, 7, 8 years he's been able to keep that group together. And there's players there that maybe feel I should be starting, but they still are willing to come on and make an impact when needed. And that's the thing, you know, Lafferty, it was a big move for him dropping Kerr, but maybe in the long run, they can look at Armagh and the depth that they have, and that's potentially what's going to win them an Ulster title if they do get over the line.
I do. I would like to see them win it, Ledge. I think McGeaney, I think he's done a great job at Armagh. I have a lot of admiration for what he's done there. You know, I know people probably don't like hearing this, like, and they probably think I'm being a bit disrespectful, but like the standard of Armagh club football, people in Armagh would even tell you the standard of Armagh club football is not great, you know, and it's at a very low level. And I think he's maximising what he has there, Ledge. But what Ryan says as well, Ledge, as well, is the complete and unwavered loyalty of his players. Like, you can really see that they just believe in everything he's doing, you know. And we'll chat about Donegal in a second, like, because I want to make a point about that. But certainly, you know, as a manager, it's so important, Les, you have that trust to your players, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's huge. And you know, you sometimes there can be a bit of tokenism towards number 16 to 30, where it's, you know, we really value his members of squads and all the rest of it. But sometimes as a manager, you and different managers will have different ways of doing this, of motivating, like, but sometimes you might, even if it's just a message after someone has played 10 minutes, having a chat, say you did well, kind of talking about it, how are you feeling about that role, whatever it might be. From a management point of view, if you're only talking to your main five or six players, you have to spread that throughout the whole squad, because I think players want to see fairness. So let's say if McGeaney is a quiet man to everyone, that's fair enough. So his squad will appreciate that, and I'm sure he'll have assigned different roles to his different management teams. But if McGeaney is like an affable character who wants to go around and he'll have a chat with Aidan Faulkner, or he'll have a chat with Rian O'Neill, he has to go and spread that out between his 35 players, you know. And even if it's just something as simple as showing an interest in what you're doing in college, or what you're doing at work, or how's the family. That stuff, I think players really appreciate, because it shows that you care. And I don't think you can fake that either. And I think Ryan made a really good point, like, to keep the talent he has happy for as long as he has. Like, as Michael Murphy said during the week, they're 10 years into this in Donegal, or 10 minutes into it. But they are 10 years into a program, and players that more or less, he's had the same group of players. That says an awful lot about his management of that group, I think.
Yeah. And supposed to finish Liam Devaney, I think he caused a huge level of frustration, Ryan, amongst the Armagh management team. I think things got a bit heated at half time there. You could see it. And probably it's difficult, like, because I always find that Liam is from Connacht. And I always think that maybe I'm being a bit, you know, loyal to the Ulster Brigade here. But I just think Ulster refs nearly understand Ulster Championship games a bit more than maybe, you know, refs from other provinces. Like, and maybe just there was a whole element of frustration there, wasn't there, Ryan? Quite fussy, like.
Yeah, I personally feel most of the refs should be reffing that game, you know, because just exactly what you're saying, they know that there's probably going to be a bit more tension in general.
Yeah,
there's two counties, like, even example there, Paddy Burns plays for Armagh, but plays his club football for Burn. He was one of the boys at half time you could see going in, giving it to the Down lads. So,
well, Paddy thought he was playing for Down because he scored an own goal. Thought he's playing for Burn. Paddy's actually having a good season. He's having a good season, to be fair. He's a good, really good man marker. Really good man marker.
But I do like, it's a bit like, we probably don't understand as Ulster lads, maybe the rivalry that's there between possibly a Mayo and a Roscommon, you know what I mean? So that's where I feel just an Ulster ref, let him at it. He understands, he probably knows a lot of the players, knows their personalities, can maybe, you know, speak to them in the right mannerism. So look, it's maybe something to look at for down the line. I understand they're probably trying to give these referees experience of big games. So thankfully, it's not a decision we have to make.
Yeah, exactly. And Ledge, I suppose moving on to Sunday, Donegal, Tyrone. Like, Tyrone went in last week as Ryan was at the game. You were at the game at Breffni Park. Played real, you'd probably call it swashbuckling football, you know, and lovely kick passing, lovely movement, lovely forward play, lots of scores. And yesterday was just completely, completely different template. Like, and I have to give Tyrone a lot of credit for that, Daniel, because I thought in a weak turnover, you know, in such a short space of time, to turn over tactically what they did in a week, I just thought, you know, that Tyrone were very, very unfortunate not to win that game yesterday. And I know Sean Patton was injured, but you could see very clearly that the plan for the week was, we're not going after his kickouts because we're not going to do what Derry done, you know. And they dropped off a lot of kickouts very, very early. And I thought that gave them a foothold then in the game ledge. But I suppose from Tyrone's perspective, they probably will be disappointed. They were three up at half time, and then they went three up again midway through the second half. And they'll probably be disappointed they didn't close the game out.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I think they ran out of juice after about 50 minutes. I thought they had a perfect template. They got a lot of, like, a kind of surprising heat on the Sunday game last night that they, you know, they were being overpatient. Like, as far as I'm concerned, Tyrone were 3 points up with, I think it was 45 minutes gone, 50 minutes gone maybe. And Donegal dropped everyone inside the 45. As far as I'm concerned there, Tyrone are well within their rights to turn that into a shit show, because Donegal have set the terms and conditions there. Yeah. They're 3 points down and they're happy to go back. And it was almost this game of chicken where you could hear Philly in the commentary saying, Philly McMahon, he was kind of saying, they need to start punching holes and they need to start doing this, that and the other. I was thinking, fuck no, do you? You need to conserve your energy. Get, like, Morgan, go back to the far 21 and bring it back to him, because Donegal do not want to stretch the pitch. And look, I if we were looking at this purely from an entertainment point of view, I'd be saying, oh, go on, get after it, get, you know, trophy runners inside, put a long ball in. But purely from a coaching point of view, I think you have to make Donegal come out and stretch themselves defensively. They want to sit in. And I thought sometimes in that last quarter where Donegal got a foothold, I thought Tyrone tried to probably play a little bit much. They got lots of men ahead of the ball. I'd have withdrawn the majority of my players, left one or two up, and just played with it until that Donegal team came out. Like, I thought Tyrone gave the perfect template of how to beat Donegal. And to be fair, I thought Donegal looked average enough when they didn't have the kick-out option. And even Patton didn't matter, because, like, when you negate, as we talked about the last day, the three or four lads around the middle that Donegal have with the size, when you negate that, Donegal don't really have a whole lot of other options for scoring. Now, I'll give them credit. I thought they were gone at halftime. And their conditioning levels must be commended, because second half they ran the ball really, really well. But I think a lot of it was down to Tyrone kind of dropping off a small bit. And I think that Brian Dugger would be happy enough. I think they found a little equilibrium in their play that we haven't seen so far. And if they can keep applying that going down the championship, I'd say they'd be happy enough. But look, I think Donegal's, like Jim talked about in the previous game, where all he talked about was Ulster, Ulster, Ulster. I think year one, if he wins an Ulster, Ulster final, I think he'll be more than happy with that. I think he's aware that what he's doing at the moment has limitations, but it, you know what, it could be enough to get him over the line.
Yeah, and Ryan, I suppose Kieran Thompson had a great game. I thought he was really, really impressive yesterday, centre off forward for the goal. But as Daniel said there, like, the tone was set very early in that game. You could see it was going to be a war of attrition. It was going to be very attritional. But how difficult, Ryan, I suppose, you know, we go with a coaching angle at this, how difficult is it for a coach? How difficult is it for players? Tyrone had a short turnover. They actually had the extra day. Donegal had the extra day, the Saturday. Tyrone also went to extra time. So it's only natural to be flagging in a week, because an Ulster Championship game, as you know, haven't played in many of them. They take their toll physically, mentally, you know, the whole lot, even 2-3 days, Ryan, to recover. Like, how difficult a week would that have been for Tyrone to prepare for this game?
No, it's a small margins at that level, Stephen. And number one, Donegal had the extra day. And number two, Tyrone went to extra time. So that game was played at 4 o'clock in Breffni last week. Probably wasn't open over the near half six. See, by the time some of them Tyrone boys maybe got back up to college or got back home, it was probably half 10, you know, and they've lost the day on Donegal already. And you could see, I felt as well as what Dan mentioned, you could see the Tyrone boys, they just didn't have the same energy. Donegal looked fitter, but a lot of that I would put down to the weekend before. Like, no, even at club level, it's very rare that you're playing championship matches week on week, you know. And I think that was the fine difference between the two teams. I wouldn't be too hard on the way the Tyrone played. We all know Donegal game plan is based on number one, the kickouts, if they can catch you with Patton or whoever's in goal is going long and get runners in behind. And number two, it's based on counter-attacking. So if you're stupid with the ball and you're forcing things and you've maybe too many players committed up the pitch, you are playing into Donegal's hands, which is just a case of runners Donegal have so many players where they're just complete runners. And McBrearty didn't start against Derry. I'm not too sure it was because he was injured. I think that was a tactical decision. And you could see even there at the weekend, McBrearty was off, I think, at half time, wasn't it? And yeah. Donegal put him back on when they realised we actually need scores here to win this game. So I wouldn't be too hard on Tyrone. The one thing I would say is that's 3 years now since Tyrone have won the All-Ireland where they haven't made an Ulster final. Like Tyrone people, they would expect Ulster final appearances at the very least. And yeah. with the youth that they have had coming through, think of the under-20 teams, etc. You know, 3 years without an Ulster final appearance, I still think you would have to say Tyrone are better than that.
Yeah, and Daniel, it was a great opportunity for Tyrone. Like, you know, it really, really was. And I think, I know Niall Morgan, I know the standards that Niall sets. I thought Niall was amazing at times in the game. You know, the calmness of his kickouts, the quality of them, you know, the variety in them as well was absolutely outstanding. I know for a fact that last play will be eating him up alive, like, because he came out to catch a ball, something that he probably prides himself on, you know, because he's a fantastic feeler of the ball, and just that little drop moment. And then he did make a great save, obviously, that actually would have won the game in normal time for Donegal, but they got the winner. And you just think, it's small wee moments. If Niall catches that ball, like Tyrone in an Ulster final, and we're having a completely different conversation.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Like, and in fairness to him, I agree with you. I thought he played, like, we call it sweeper keeper. It wasn't necessarily sweeper keeper, but I thought he played the keeper adding the plus one. I thought he played it magnificently. Like, yeah. some of his foot, like the one to Daly or the, like, that was some score. I mean, yeah. Two absolute a pass and a worldly point, like, amazing stuff. And even the way he played the anchor at the back of the press, he wasn't trying to get ahead of the play. Like, he looks like he has the benefit of being a really good outfielder and a really good goalkeeper. He's not one or the other. But look, I've in that particular play, it was a really awkward ball, and he was, I think he was half bracing for contact. I think he was like, I'm going to get milled here. I need to just try and get something on it. Maybe in hindsight, do you put two fists on it and just get it out of that area? But then you're knocking into a place where you've no idea what's going to happen. Like, it was probably. I wouldn't say that was the straw that broke the camel's back. It was an unfortunate incident for him, but I think that was coming from Donegal. I think you could feel that surge momentum in the last 10 minutes. Donegal were growing and growing and growing. And look, he, in fairness to Morgan, I thought he got him out of more holes than he put them into. Like, so I wouldn't put it on him. But as you say, the margins are so fine. And as Ryan talks about, that 24 hours, I think, is huge. But I'm still kind of the opinion that Tyrone won't be too displeased with it. I think they've... If they can find that balance between what they did yesterday, which is probably a bit extreme, but find that balance with some of their forward play, I think they're onto something good, I think.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like, because, you know, Niall's obviously, he's a real, real top operator, and I actually probably would go on record as saying I think he's the best in the business at the minute, you know, in the country at that. But it's those small moments. Look, Colin Kilpatrick was injured, Ryan, he's come back in. I see he played 88 minutes, you know, he was taking off an extra time. Like that's another thing as well. Like, Tyrone will get stronger, I think. And I know you're probably right in what you say. You know, Ulster final obviously would have been a main goal, like, but certainly in whatever you want to call this series, the Super 16s or whatever the bloody you want to call it, like, but I think Tyrone will have a sting in their tail, Ryan, before the season's out.
Yeah, no, they're going to be in pot three. I think, yeah. Alongside the likes of Monaghan, Roscommon, and I can't remember who, the Derry. Yeah. So that's a very strong pot, considering it's pot three.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, Stephen, I still feel, I think Tyrone will improve once they get the players back. I'm not too sure whereabouts Peter Hart's at, Myler, etc. So when you do look at it, they have serious players to come in if they're able to make it, maybe throughout this All-Ireland series. But I'm just not too sure. Like, Tyrone could have an away game away down in Killarney. You know, they could have a game against the Dubs. And yeah. I just feel like if one of those teams, now I know Tyrone are very good coming in when people's writing them off, you get a reaction. But if they got a bad performance and a bit of a beating from one of those teams, I just feel all of a sudden the confidence could be knocked out of them again. Like that league final, that last league game they played against Dublin.
Yeah.
That really, I felt that nearly carried into the Cavan match. They were flaky enough at times in that Cavan game. So I'm still not 100% sure where Tyrone's at. They've obviously loads of quality. But the big thing for me is, can they get these more experienced players in? And if they can, then I feel, yes, they could cause an upset in the All-Ireland series. But yeah. I don't think they're on the top table yet.
Yeah, and Donegal, Daniel, 11 different scorers. Like, and it's amazing, like, because this is a group of players who were absolutely destroyed last year in Park Eschler by you know, a poor enough downside. Like, and, you know, a down team that played in the Telson Cup, you know, and you're sort of thinking to yourself, like, How can a group, you know, produce such a putrid season, and then obviously McGuinness comes in, and we've talked about this last week. He's got that magic stardust, you know, and he's got that aura, he's got that mystique about him. A lot of these boys, probably in fact all of them, have probably never played under him. Is that right? Or was McBrady about in 2020? Was I think McBrady is McBrady maybe the only one that's played under him?
Maybe.
So you're talking about one or two or three max, completely new group. So he has the room. He has the room, Daniel, straight away, you know.
Yeah, and I was actually thinking about this earlier. Like, I mean, Donegal people would be, I know anyone that I know would be wild enough as well. Like, and it wouldn't be probably easy to control. Like, you hear any of the stories that McGee would have talking about or anything like that from years ago. Like, they're wild enough men. And you need, as I say, sometimes in teaching in class, you know, you need to be madder than the kids. Well, McGuinness needs to be madder than the kids, you know, because you definitely have some personalities there, that's for sure. But as you said, he has the room big time. And do you know what I like about what he did? I genuinely thought they were, I thought they're one trick pony. I thought at halftime that they're finished. But they did, they ground it out. They stayed plugging away. I thought they brought a real energy in the second half. And I know, look, we have to align that with Rowan, but ultimately I thought they were finished, and they managed to find a way. They managed to find a way to grind it out. And even the way he's ruthless. Like, I mean, whipping out McBrearty, I agree with Ryan. I don't think he was injured against Derry either. And I don't think I think he got to start yesterday, but like, I don't think it's suitable to what Donegal are doing. You know, when Darden came on, I thought he added much more dynamism and you know, he brought more energy to that spot. And bringing McBrearty on then for the last couple of minutes or whatever, like, that was a better shout, I think. But he didn't think twice about taking his captain off. You know what I mean? He is ruthless.
That's strong management, Daniel.
100%. And it's like McGeaney keeping everyone happy. Like, who's going to question that? do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, I'd say it'd be laid out very clearly. Like, McBrearty had, what, maybe five or six whites from play. Like, that review won't be too pleasing for him. But that's strong management, you know. And how many, let's say, managers over the last 3 or 4 years in Donegal might have appeased McBrearty's of this world, might have said, you know, oh, look, you're our best player, you're playing no matter what. I think players respond to strong management. And for me, that was really strong management.
Yeah, and listen, from your perspective, Ryan, like, I don't want you to start naming previous managers or anything like this, like, but, you know, you said Peter Canavan. You played under Peter, did you? You played under Peter? Like, so Peter Canavan comes in as manager, like, you know, it gives you a lift, doesn't it? Like, straight away, before, like, he has the room straight away, like, and it's that profile, big name, you know, and, like, how important, Ryan, as a manager, is it, like, that you get off to a good start? Like, because it's just, you get that belief then with your players, you know, because those Donegal players now are probably believing, do you know what, like, Jimmy's fucking magical, he's untouchable, he can't do a thing wrong, there's two games now, we've nailed it, we've got it right, those couple of little subtle switches, as Daniel says, making those substitutions, and I think as well, you need an element of luck as a manager too, you need an element of luck as well.
No, that's it. I played under Malik O'Rourke, played under Peter Canavan, like, and these, you know, were brilliant managers, but we let's being brutally honest, we didn't have that successful a time under Malachy. Like, it was his final year, we got relegated to Division 4. But Malachy O'Rourke's still an outstanding manager, so you definitely still need that bit of luck. Now, the thing about Donegal was the belief that would have given them, the way they found a way to get over the line, because it probably wasn't a really convincing performance. We talked about the wides, etc., that they had. They felt they took a lot of wrong decisions in the final third, which isn't like them. But finding a way, and sometimes that's all you need to do in games, find a way, then will give you a massive belief that you're saying, okay, lads, we tidy up our shot selection, you know, the next day we're not going to have as many wides, but we still didn't fucking lose that game. You know, we have unbelievable battling qualities. The hard work that we have done in October, November time, that's where it came into play yesterday. And I have no doubt McGuinness will use all of that and say, even when we're not playing well, lads, we will fucking still find a way to win this whole stuff.
Yeah.
Next 2 weeks, like, the Donegal boys will be bouncing. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? It would be a significant win, Daniel, because Derry, Tyrone and Armagh are probably the top three counties in Ulster. So to win an Ulster, like, it's huge, a huge credit and win it by beating, you know, Derry, Tyrone and Armagh. Like, but look, my my feelings would be I would like to see Armagh win it. But moving on to Leinster, lads, we'll obviously chat about the Ulster final in a couple of weeks. Moving on to Leinster, you know, another notable win for Louth, Daniel. I'm done talking about Kildare, to be honest. I'm done. But I'd rather focus on Louth. Louth have bloody good forwards, lads. They've good forwards, good footballers. I'm obviously involved in club football at Louth at the minute with some Ogdens, and it's been a real eye-opening experience because I've been involved in down club football for so while. The standard is very, very high. There's good quality of footballer in Louth. You know, the football is probably, you can play a bit more football as well, probably. It's probably not as attritional as some of the Ulster stuff, but certainly, like, you're looking at the likes of Sam Mulroy, you're looking at the likes of Kieran Downey, Daniel Ryan Burton. Like, these are fine. These are some of the best footballers, some of the best forwards in Leinster, you know, and full value for the win, Lech. Full value.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I know you were saying you're down in Louth now, but it won't be long about getting rid of some of the flair from those forwards now if you get your teeth into
Exactly yourself.
But no, come here, and I'll tell you what it was. It was an awkward enough one for them because Kildare were fighting for their lives, pretty much. Like, you know what I mean? This is a match. Well, they should have been. And Louth had bet them in the league.
Yeah.
It should have been fighting fury from Kildare. But look, as you said, we're done talking about that. But I thought Louth were very good. Like Grimes, like I think Conor Grimes is like an absolute animal of a man. Like, you know, he's physical and he kicked a couple of lovely scores. Downey, as you mentioned before, Sam Mulroy, they have a lot of really nice footballers, and back-to-back All-Irelands is no mean feat. Like, and I know, they're going to come out looking after the Dublin game. They'll get no doubt about it. They'll give it a rattle, but they're going to come out kind of maybe with the sheen taken off them a small bit, which is unfortunate. But I think there's no questions now. The second best team in Leinster, you know, quite easily. And they're, do you know what they are? They're, as I said, I've said this before about Louth people, they're very, very confident and very sure of their ability. And I thought they played like that yesterday. I thought they looked really slick, you know, and they have a very clear game plan. A lot of the remnants from the Devlin Hart era still in play. But yeah, they have a tough task the next day, which is unfortunate.
Big men, Ryan. Big men like Tommy Jernan, you know, Big Grimes, Bevan Duffy, you know, like physicality as well to mix it, you know, and it would be really refreshing. I know it's going to be difficult. I know it's going to be very difficult, but by God, it'd be really refreshing to see them really put it up to Dublin, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I would give massive credit to Louth. Like, Stephen, from where they were at a couple of years ago, and everyone probably thought it was the Devlin and Hart factor. Like, Louth have really kicked on. They've established themselves, let's face it, as a Division 2 team, easy.
Yeah.
And two back-to-back Leinster finals. Again, we might have thought that was maybe Hart that was a massive factor in them getting to a Leinster final, but they've shown they are without doubt the second best team. And that was a banana skin. I know Kildare weren't going well, but Kildare, you'd think, could be dangerous when there's nothing expected of them.
Yeah.
Daniel Flynn, Feely up front, all these boys that Kildare have, they're good footballers. Kerwin, Lowry's went out and done a job. There was no fuss. There was no like taking it into the last 5 minutes and scraping through. And to me, that shows a team that is, they've gained a lot of experience as well, being, you know, playing against higher level teams. And yeah, I feel like if they can, they're not going to beat Dublin, but if they can improve and I suppose be, you know, aggressive and don't be starting off Dublin, go and let's see, can they close the gap from where they're at last year? I feel now they're definitely, and they're a great example of any county that you're saying, look, where can we get to if we get the right structures in place in the next 3 to 4 years? And that's exactly what we've done.
A lot of pressure too, Ledge, on Gerard Brennan, because, you know, he's coming in after Mickey Hart. You know, it was sort of like, it was nearly like losing the girlfriend, wasn't it, for a lot of Louth players? You know, when Mickey left, they were all distraught, they were devastated. And you played under Gerard, Daniel, didn't you? You played under Gerard as coach?
No, he was the year after I finished up.
Right, okay.
He's
a small bit of experience at the county level, but that was a huge jump, like to go in at senior management, you know, his first gig, you know, and replacing Mickey Hart. And look, he's surrounded himself with a bit of experience there as well. Peter Dooley, a selector, James McCartan, Niall Moyna, you know, so he's got a fair degree of managerial experience around him. And I suppose from his perspective, Daniel, that'll be a real positive.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I think sometimes in management, that's the key thing, is getting the right people around you that you can trust. And like we've talked about before, it's not reinventing the wheel, probably, like with Louth. It was just a continuation of the process. And like, you know, Louth under 20s, also Leinster final tomorrow night. You know, like there has been a kind of a strong body of work coming up through the ages, to be fair to them. And to, as I said, two Leinster finals in 2 years. They'll be in Sam McGuire twice for 2 years, playing at a higher standard, as Ryan's mentioned. Like, that is only good for players. And look, there is a real desire for football in Loud. Like, they are football mad. And it is the sport, like, you know. And it's... I look, at the Dublin game, it's kind of irrelevant in a sense. Like, but you'd love to see them at least... showing off the bit of quality they have. Like, you know, when we played Dublin 2017, we had no option but to go kind of nuclear with it. But Loud have some decent ballers, and you'd love to see them kind of, as you say, bring a bit of fucking edge and a bit of energy to that Dublin game. And even if it's just a case of pressing kickouts from frees, and even if it's a case of maybe going direct with one or two, getting Grimes in on the edge of the square, just to have a bit of variety to that game. And like, they have some tools to hurt any team, you know. But no, look, as I said, this is pathway stuff. Like, I mean, this has been building and Loud for a while with underage and stuff like that. And consistency at Division 2 and consistency in Sam McGuire is only going to improve those lots.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about, you know, bringing something around. Like, I was talking to Tyrone Mann today in school, actually, and he was sort of saying to me, you know, like, he's just like, Tyrone Donegal, one yellow card. Like, it was hardly a bad tackle in the game. There was nobody smashed in. What is Roy Keane's favourite saying? Like, you know, just go and smash someone, you know, early. And like, you're sort of thinking what Led says there. Like, Loud's just going to this first 10, 15 minutes Leinster final and really, really try and test Dublin's mettle. Like, you know, I know Dubs have been down that lane before, so, but you haven't really seen anyone really go in physically. And, you know, even... I know it sounds, I shouldn't be saying this in a podcast, starting the Lee or something, you know. And I was laughing because Led said to me in 2018, what like, would you have done something mad? And if we had got to the final, we're beat by a goal in the semi-final. I says, I would have sent you boys down to the hill to warm up, and I'd have been standing up at the canal and watching you just get your fuck knocked in.
That's a true story.
but you know, just something psychological, even just, you know, first 10 minutes. I'd love to see it, Ryan. I'd love to see it, you know, just something different.
They should get you down for a session or two, Stevie, before. No, that's. I think that's what both myself and Dan are saying. I would love if Loud go out. I'm not saying go out and play stupid where they're leaving themselves completely exposed, but they're not going to beat Dublin. But I don't want to see them just sitting back, you know, constantly 14 behind the ball, giving up every kick out. I would like to see if they could go toe to toe at times with Dublin and let the likes of Grimes, Mulroy, Downey, you know, have a one-on-one where if they beat their man, they'll create openings. Because I think Loud have loads of tools like that. Yeah. Big Tom Burney in the middle of the pitch. Like, he can absolutely go and charge. Yeah. Yes, of course, bring the battle and charge into Dublin at times when you have to. But don't just sit off where it's a case of Dublin just eventually pick them apart, etc. Go and take the game to them and see where they're at.
Yeah. And look, the other game of the weekend, lads, Dublin had a very convincing 3-22-0 win over... 20-point victory over Offaly. And I think what we'll do is we'll leave Dublin, lads, until the Leinster final, and we'll dissect their performance, because I don't think we can read too much into that performance yesterday. But listen, lads, thanks again for your time. Brilliant insights again, man. And we'll chat to you next week. Thanks, lads.
Thanks, lads.